It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome to The Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. Show is brought to you by UJ Chevrolet, Mobile's oldest GM dealer, Alabama Pipe and Supply, and Ed's Seafood Shed.
Fantabulous Seafood Shed. Yeah.
I hope everybody's staying safe and trying to isolate a little bit. Yeah.
You know, we've been talking about it off the air and all. There's a lot going on. There's a lot happening to a lot of people, mm-hmm. and a lot of people are being quarantined. A lot of people are self-quarantining, and
right.
it's you know, we just got to do what we got to do to move forward and make a living and, keep the wheels rolling, keep the wheels greased, and so they'll lock up and we don't shut down everything.
Right, right.
But I mean, we don't want to kill everybody either, you know?
No. We got to take care of everybody we can and just move forward. I mean, it's just part of it. We're going to have to move forward and keep working and – you know, the economy's got to keep rolling.
Right. Well,
groceries got to be stocked, and cars got to be worked on. And
we don't all live on a farm. We can't go out and get food out of our vegetable garden.
Well, when you flip the light switch when you get home, you expect lights to come on because the power's there. You expect water to run out the faucet when you get there.
Right.
So,
all the above.
All the above. You just got to keep moving. Yeah.
Well, I'm sure there's somebody out there that has car problems that needs to talk to us about.
Yeah, I'm quite sure they are. Probably AC problems because, we've been seeing a bunch of
them
there.
I bet you have.
It's,
104, 105, 108, heat index?
Yeah. I can't tell you how many we see come in. In the heat of the day, it just doesn't cool that good.
Well, let me ask you, something just flashed my mind because I did it to my house today. Mm-hmm. I have a window unit in my bedroom, mm-hmm. and I got to thinking, you know what? I wonder if there's any mold in that darn window unit.
Right.
And I popped the front of it out and all the vents out of it, and I said, oh, yeah, there is mold in there.
Right.
So get the bleach and the water out and the scrub brushes.
Clean it out.
That being said, with the closed systems that we have now in our automobiles and the filtration system, cab vents and what have you.
Right.
Cabin vents, I believe they call them, cabin filters. Do we ever get any mold like that or stuff like that in our cars or in our vehicles?
No, not as much as you would think. We're in the South, and humidity's, I think we all should be growing gills. Because
I know, you know.
Yeah, because the humidity is about 120% most days.
But it seems that way anyway.
Yeah, it's, you're going to have some, but typically most of our cars now have what they call an afterblow system on it, and nobody ever sees it.
Well, now, wait a minute.
And
afterblow system.
Yeah, basically what it does is after you run your car and you run the air conditioner for a while, after it shuts off for probably 30 minutes, it'll blow the blower motor for, I don't know.
In other words, it continues to blow fresh air through there?
Well, it doesn't immediately do it. It lets everything kind of warm back up, and then it blows air across the evaporator for about 10 minutes. And blows all the moisture out, dries out the air box.
So it dries out the system then.
Right, dries out the system.
That would keep us from having the mold
right.
in there then.
If it's dry, you're not going to get it.
Right, so it dries it down itself.
Right, it works at drying it all down. So we don't have near the problem with it anymore that we used to.
Well, you're talking about that, how many of you realize that on our new refrigerators and freezer combinations and all, they don't have a drip pan underneath them anymore?
Yeah.
I'm going like, wait a minute. It's got ice on it.
How are they doing that?
It's got ice on that condenser and all, So I had a guy who was working on mine, but it kept freezing up.
Mm-hmm.
And here back several years ago, and naturally when he disassembled it and got in there, I put my big nose in there too because I wanted to see what was going on. I'm that kind of guy.
Yeah.
The condenser has a fan that blows on it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So when the condenser freezes up and freezes over,
right,
it has an automatic shutoff switch on it. Boop. Then you hear the fan come on. Hum. So the fan blows across there and makes it into air and fixes it up like humidity.
Right.
Puts some moisture in there so you have no water.
Right. Right.
So it does it every 8 hours, he says.
Yeah.
Every 8 hours, it shuts the condenser off, runs the fan across it, gets rid of all the ice, then the switch kicks back on, and it starts freezing again.
Right, right.
Because I was going like, man, look, you know, hey, even cars have drip places on them so that they can drip the condensation off, you know, when those things start freezing up and melting down.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, but so we don't have a tendency to have that mold in our air conditioning system. Has that been an ongoing deal for years or last few years? Or
you know, it's
do you know?
The afterblow systems, you know, they started coming around probably 10 or 15 years ago, but most of those were something you had to add to the car.
Oh, really?
If you had one that was having issues, there was a module you had to add into it, and then you had to babysit it and you know, make sure it was doing it, because you'd never really hear it, you know.
The fan.
I can't say that I've ever caught one blowing.
Really? Okay.
But I mean, I would lay a piece of paper over a vent in the dash or something, so if it came on, I knew it did because it moved that piece of paper. Yeah. So that'd be about
now. That sounds like a country boy trick.
Right. Right. Well, you know, I was always kind of busy, and I didn't want to have to sit there.
Country boy technology.
Yeah. I didn't want to have to sit there and babysit the car the whole time.
Okay, it moved my damn paper, and the blower's working.
Right. That way I could go off and do something else.
That
make
is
a little
cool.
Money.
Okay. Yeah. You didn't just have to stand there and put your eyeball on it?
Right. Just take a nap in the car. It's too hot in the summer when we're doing all that. So.
Man.
You know, it's
we do about our cars prior to that, before we come out with this kind of thing?
Basically, you would have the AC drain stop up on a fairly regular basis. You had to clean it out, blow it out. That was a fairly common
thing. Do you do that from the top, or you do it from the bottom?
Usually from the bottom. Okay. You know, and a lot of times you can get some mold buildup in there, and you'd have to go in and do a cleaning of the evaporator. You know, to get rid of the mold.
What if you blowed it from the bottom back up through there, wouldn't it blow all that stuff up and on your condenser and all inside the condenser box?
The evaporator, you would get it all up in the evaporator.
The
and
evaporator,
you wanted it to.
Yeah.
You'd want it to, because that's where it grows, is in the fins of the evaporator. So, but it would clean all that out. But with the advent of the cabin air filters and the afterblows and all that, we really just don't have that much trouble with
that's
it anymore.
Awesome. I'm glad. Yeah. Okay, because I was when I'm messing with my little window unit, I'm going like, well, if this thing's got mold in it, and I highly recommend to any and everybody that has a window unit in their house, they best check that, pull the filters and all out, get to it, see where the air's blowing out of it, because if you see those black spots around in there, that's mold.
Right.
And it doesn't take many of those spores to get in your air, and then you're going to be breathing them in at night, and people go, I bet every time I go to bed, I get sick.
Yeah.
My nose starts running.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. You got to watch out for that kind of stuff for sure. But, you know, the cars, they're moving enough fresh air through them all the time, and people assume that your car is sealed off. But it's not. No matter, even if you have it on recirculate, you're constantly getting some fresh air.
Are you
going to
get some fresh air?
I can't remember. I think it's somewhere around 15%.
Well, I was wondering about that, because I was wondering if mine was working correctly, because when I first fire it up, I put it on recirculate, and if I happen to be around a diesel or something like that on the road, then I would get a little smell coming through there. It's going like, wait a minute now. You know, I thought I was recirculating stuff in here, and I know it's a diesel in front of me.
Right.
So I am picking up some fresh air.
Well, I mean, you got to think about it. If you're in your car driving and you run 6 hours, you're going to run out of oxygen in that car if it's sealed off 100%.
Right. Oh, well,
you'll end up putting yourself to sleep.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
So you got to get some fresh air in there.
That's your boy technology again.
You know, no matter what you do, you got to get some fresh air.
You're
going to
run out of oxygen.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So you got to, and people, they don't think about that. It's like, well, I'm still smelling outside. You know, it's like, you'll never seal it off 100%. They won't let you seal it off, and you don't want it sealed off.
You don't want it sealed off. Okay. You don't want it sealed off 100%.
You don't want it sealed off 100%. But, you know, it all works. It all works. And, you know, we get even the new one that I'm driving now, this evening when I left the house, it had been sitting at the house all day, and I cranked up, and I was 2 miles down the road before it decided to start cooling.
Uh-oh.
But it's all because of the temperature in the car. It's going to let things get moved out a little bit before it tries to force cold air into it. So,
okay.
But it's just a normal operation of it. You know, you know, if it's 100 degrees outside, guess what? It's going to take a little while to cool it off.
Well, what are we are we looking at from air conditioning? If it's 100 degrees outside, is our air conditioning go below 20 degrees or 30
it's
degrees?
It's closer to 30.
Closer to 30?
Yeah, if it's back 100 degrees out.
Back in the early days, now we had R12, it would do 45.
Yeah, but it'd still take a little bit.
Yeah. You know? Oh, it would, yeah.
And the cars weren't sealed off as good either.
Oh, so. No, not those tanks we used to drive.
Right. But we're going to take a break and let you hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back.
Well, it's like a road that you travel on. There's one day here, the next day gone. Sometimes you bend, sometimes you stand. Sometimes you turn your back to the wind. There's a world outside the darkened door.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome back to The Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. I'm sure y'all don't want to just sit here and listen to us talk, so give us a call or send us a text, and let's see if we can't help you with some of your problems.
But, well, let me throw a couple at you. Mm-hmm. The last week or so, we have been squandered with rain and lightning and a lot of flooding, a lot of serious flooding.
You mean afternoons in Mobile?
The regular afternoon in Mobile.
Right.
Drives the dogs crazy. Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, the pet stores are selling a bunch of that calm down medicine.
Exactly.
And you know, and the ones that can't have using the home pills.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, when it's 100 and something degrees out and, you know, all day long, it's gonna rain in the afternoon. And when it does, it's going to
rain. Oh, yeah. Well, that being said, are we seeing any flooded cars? And by chance, have you got any lightning cars in?
Yeah, we haven't seen any flood vehicles, but we do have at least one lightning vehicle.
Uh-oh.
I think two.
Uh-oh.
I haven't verified the second one yet, but one I know was. It was one of those sitting in the man's driveway and, you know, had a bad storm come through, and his wife come out there. You know your windshield wipers are on in your truck and the window's down.
What?
Windshield wipers wouldn't go off, window wouldn't roll up, and it did it all by itself. Keys was in his pocket the whole time. So,
Got into a module or two in there to do that.
Yeah, yeah, it zapped it and things started happening. But either that or it's possessed, one or the other. But it's
that being said, country ball question.
Mm-hmm.
Did you find out where it hit it?
Hadn't got that far yet. I know the ECM, the engine control modules, smoked. We're still working with the insurance company to go much further than that. So,
okay. But there's no obvious sign of, you know, like maybe.
Didn't see anything.
You didn't blow any tires out or anything?
No. It
didn't hit a tree side of it?
Haven't gotten under it yet to look and see if it hit the exhaust or anything like that. But, you know, sometimes you see and sometimes you don't ever find the mark.
Sometimes they'll hit a tree that's parked next to it or something, mm-hmm. and it'll run the tree, go in the ground, and then it'll hit a root and run out to the side rather than just going straight in the ground. And then if it jumps to a driveway, to a car or something, then I've seen those.
I'm going to say that this one is actually a near hit because it's I was able to communicate with some of the modules on the system.
It might not have been a direct hit.
If it was a direct hit, usually every module's
dead. It'll get it off.
But I was able to, once I got the ECM out of it, I was able to talk to the rest of the modules on the high-speed side. The low-speed side was already talking some.
That was a severe shock.
Yeah, it was close, but it wasn't. I don't think it was a direct hit.
It didn't hit the cigar.
Yeah. So it's, but you know, and the ones that get hit dead on, You can just about bank on any every component in it.
Yeah. Have you ever had to change a wiring harness with that? Will it run the wiring harness without damaging it?
Yeah, usually it'll run the wiring harness and not hurt it, because it's not like all the voltage is going through the wires. It's usually most of it all goes through and goes to ground.
Okay.
You know? But you know, electronics don't like surges.
Right.
You know, and it's more like getting an electrical surge. And it goes through and hits the modules. The wires are generally not hurt. Yeah. You know?
Okay. That being said, when you find that they do hit, and they get a bunch of those modules,
mm-hmm.
do you find where it comes out of the system, or will it just stay in the system? I mean, will it come out and bust a module open or a wire open or something?
I can't say I've ever seen it really just blow up a module or anything like that.
In other words, it goes into the system and dies?
Typically, you know. I have opened some of the modules up because, you know, even if there's a core on it, if it's been hit by lightning, they don't want it.
They're
not
going to do anything about it, yeah.
So, I've opened a few of the modules up and found capacitors blown up and that kind of stuff in them. But as far as, like, sure enough, visible damage without taking something apart, you know, usually you don't ever see that.
You can't. Yeah, okay. Just takes out all your electrical component and capacitors and
resistors
and things.
All the little chips don't like that high voltage.
Yeah.
So it's
but it melts a little gold off of them.
Yeah. So, you know, it's interesting at times to work on those because no two are the same. Yeah. No matter what you do, it's not going to be it got hit by lightning, so put this, and this on it.
No.
You know, it's I've had them to where it was hit. Excuse me, get everything up and going and working, go drive it, and you get a catalyst inefficient code out of the catalytic converters, and it'd be like, how did that happen? I mean, this is a brand new vehicle. I know it wasn't like that before, and somehow it damages the catalyst in the
converters. Okay, it goes into the minerals in the converter.
Yeah. You know, somehow, and those are usually ones that got hit. You can see the marks on the exhaust system.
They got hit there.
Yeah. So it would be it took a direct hit to the converter. I've had ignition coils, you know, fried. Yeah. Get everything up and talking. It's like, okay, it should be good to go and run. Crank it up, and it just would not, you know, would not run for nothing. And get to checking, and the.
You get into an ignition
coil. The ignition coils be just cooked. Yeah. It was like, wow, that's cool. I hadn't seen that before.
Well, you know, that's one of the things about working on automobiles that I always enjoyed, because very seldom did you ever find two vehicles that had the same identical problem.
Right.
They might have, you know, if you got one unit that takes out a particular module, and then you go to the next one and say, oh, yeah, that took out that module. But it's not going to just take out that module. It might take out two or three more.
Right.
Another module that was, close to that. But that's one thing about the automobile business. It's a new experience every day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's always new. You know, we have our common failures. That's where – bulletins from General Motors comes in, they'll even have special policies if it's something safety related or a real common failure, where sometimes they'll step up to the plate if it's something that they need to. But, no matter what you do, it's always something a little different on everyone. You know, it's someone that walks in and tells you that they know everything about a car.
No.
He's usually the one that don't know nothing about
right,
one.
Right, right.
He
just told you a bald-faced lie. That's what
right,
he said.
Right, right. We know he lied to you.
Yeah, so, Sam, boy, yeah. I didn't know you lied.
Yeah.
What?
That's
what?
Right.
Yeah, because you say you know everything that's about a car, you're telling the damn lie.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been.
You're going to learn something new every day.
I've been doing this since about 81-ish. So
you're telling your age
40-something,
now.
Or right, almost 40 years.
You're going to get on regular now.
And I learn something every day.
Right.
Yeah. So it's and not just the new stuff. I mean, it's some of it's older stuff.
Well, Kev, that's what had happened to a lot of our older independent mechanics. mm-hmm. is that they've been in the business for 30 years or so, 40 years, mm-hmm. back in the day, and they felt like there wasn't nothing that they didn't know.
Right.
So they weren't interested in the electronic technology. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to that. I'm not going to that school. I'm not going to study that. I know everything about these cars, right.
Right.
Well, buddy,
Right.
Right.
Well, we went through a time probably early 70s, mid 70s, where some electronics started getting in the cars.
Right.
Electronic
we did.
Ignition,
right.
there was some a little bit of electronics in the car, not bad, but some of your old drivability guys, they just freaked out when it got to.
Oh yeah.
It didn't have points. It didn't have condenser.
Right.
No
carburetor.
Yeah.
I ain't working
on it.
I don't know how to work on that.
Yeah. Well, then probably somewhere in the mid '80s, the early '80s, we got into computers hooked to a carburetor.
Right.
Then we got into we'll just do away with carburetor and we'll put fuel injection on them.
Mm-hmm.
And
changed. Then.
Yeah. The guys that didn't make that transition,
right.
they're all gone now.
Right, they're gone.
Yeah. But now we're going through another. Things kind of calmed down for a while after that.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't real bad.
Well, the diagnostics equipment that we were able to get became pretty proficient.
Right.
And we were doing a pretty good job with it. But then the sophistication of the stuff they come out with after that.
Right. The stuff they're coming out with now, I see it just. Man, it's going so fast right now that it is tough to keep up with, And you got to be pretty sharp to understand what you're dealing with.
Oh, yeah. And you better go into it with an open mind.
Yeah. You better be ready to learn. When you go to these schools, which the problem is right now, no one's going to schools because of the COVID. But, when you go to these schools, don't go with the attitude that it's a day off and you're going to go play for a day. You better go in there ready to learn something, I see it both ways from my vantage point when we go to some of these, you'll get behind in a hurry. It doesn't take long at all. I mean, General Motors they're adding, 20 or 30 courses every year, more over and above some of the little stuff that you got to do.
Right.
So if you want to stay up, you better stay up with it.
Better.
Yeah. But we're going to take a break and let you hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back. We have a question from Michelle Ray's daughter. We'll get with that when we get back.
Big wheels rolling, moving on. The white line is the lifeline to a nation. And men like Kix and Ronnie make it move. Living like a gypsy.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
Well, you heard the story of the hot rod race that fatal day when the Ford and the Mercury went out to play.
And welcome back to the Car Doctor Show. This is the Car Doctor Kevin Ramkel along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. Let's see, we got a text here from Michelle. Can you install a voltage arrestor against lightning before computer modules in your car? There's really no way to do that because you can't have anything in line with the data bus that will...
That would interfere with your signals, wouldn't it?
Yeah, would it interrupt with the signals? And, you got to be real careful what you plug up to a car. And just having it on the positive ground is not going to do much good, because it can get in any way. It can come in through the antenna. It can come in through the exhaust system.
Is it okay for me to say that a lot of cars now have 30 to 50 modules in them?
25 and 30 is not uncommon.
Okay.
At all.
All right.
And
some of them have more.
It could have more. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's,
so there's not just, it's just not a start and finish. You actually, it's kind of like a skeleton.
Yeah. Basically
all your lines and all going to it out to the different components and pieces.
A lot of ours, we'll have, say there's probably four different data communication systems on each car.
Four.
Where one is your main drivability data bus. Yeah. And it's basically set up in a loop system to where it goes in one module and out that module to the next module and then out that module to the next one. And it makes a big circle all the way back around to where it started, okay? Or it will have a terminating resistor at either end, but it's still in and out until it gets to that terminating resistor. You know, and that resistor is there just to kind of stabilize voltage. Or you have, and then you'll have your, what they call a star system, which is you have a central line that just basically breaks out in a star, and it will run out to this module and this module. And
it goes out each point of the star then.
Yeah, it goes out to each point.
To a different area.
Right. And then like our entertainment systems, which they've changed it a little bit here lately, it has what they call a MOS bus, which is almost identical to where our powertrain communication is, but it's on a much smaller scale, and it has a key computer, one that is their MOS master. It is where you go to diagnose it. It's where everything has to start and stop at, you know.
Now, this but is just, on what system?
What your entertainment system, like your radio.
That's
and your
what I thought you said.
Cell phone.
But is it, in other words, it's kind of like on a separate system?
Yeah, yeah, and they're all actually separate from each other. Where you can get into trouble is some of the systems will actually, you may have one module that has your powertrain, your Class 2 and your most system all go into one module. So one module may have all three communication lines hooked to it because it needs to get information from everybody else. You know, so it's it gets complicated at times, you know.
Well, okay. It's extremely. Because you lost me two or three times. but and I was thinking, all of that being said, in the technology that's involved, and you could take some of your tests on a computer now in the shops, but you have to take certain amount of those tests on a computer and pass those with a passing grade,
right?
And then they'll send you to, when we get through with this, but prior to this,
right,
they would send you to a school for two or three, 4 days, or one day, or whatever, to establish all that knowledge that you just gained on all those other tests as to how all of that works and gets you more familiar with it.
Right.
Now, that being said, I know that happens. What if a guy or a technician doesn't take the time to do those computer tests he can't go to the school.
He can't go to the hands-on if he doesn't
right.
do the other.
I know some guys that have lost their job.
Oh, yeah.
That were good. You know, mechanics
right.
that didn't want to learn to be a tech, uh-huh. and they wouldn't get involved with a computer and take those tests.
Right.
And they literally lost a damn good paying job. I mean, you know, for $50,000-$60,000 a damn year.
Right. Well,
or
you
more.
Know, you have to keep up, and you know, it gets to where General Motors is not as picky about it as some of the others. When I was at BMW. If you were not certified in a particular car and or area of that car, you could not work on it under warranty and have BMW pay for it. So
I understood that. I've heard that.
Yeah.
And in other words, when you sign off on that invoice that you repaired it, the number that you put at the end of your name better be a correct number that is
right.
approval that has been signed to you that you are a trained tech
you're
in
certified
that
job. In that area.
Right.
Yeah. And one of the first things that happens now when a warranty claim is submitted through General Motors, you know, when they submit it has my number on it or whoever's number happens to be working on it, a employee number or what they call a G-Men number, which is their GM identification number. And that number will be tied to that ticket. And when they get to looking at it, the first thing that pops up is your training record.
Oh, okay.
You know, so they know whether you're trained in that. Now, part of the way you can get around a little bit of that is if, say, me as a shop foreman, you know, I'm involved in it, and my number happens to be on that ticket as well, to where
they'll accept.
Yeah, they will accept that I am watching out for the technical end of it, and someone else is doing the hands-on part.
Right.
To where
that's why it will go. That's what one of your priorities of your job.
Right. Right. I mean, I'm intimately involved in that particular vehicle. You know, for my number.
You are the
it.
Guru.
So, yeah.
The guru.
So, sometimes I have to
numbers.
Sometimes I have to get involved. Yeah. So it's okay. Yeah. That's why I have a job. That's why they keep me around.
They need a guru.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, it's but you know, the training is very involved. It's not easy to get to, you know, 100% trained in any particular category. I mean, it starts out you're with our fundamentals, you know, they'll have basic safety things and basic electrical courses and that kind of stuff. And everybody has to have that period in the shop for the shop to get to 100% in training. And then you have your electrical category, your engine mechanical, your transmission, automatic and standard shift, and diesel, and engine mechanical, engine drivability, AC, electrical, brakes, body, paint. I mean, there's a bunch of categories.
Things electrical.
Yeah, well, everything is. And, you know, if you're – I don't care what you're doing, you got to know the safety end of dealing with airbags.
Oh, yeah, know, yeah, because they'll blow up in you. I've seen, I think you got run to a class over there one day and fired thing off. It went about 60, 80 feet in the air.
Yeah, yeah. When I get, we have to store them there because we can't send them back. Yeah, you know, so, you know, when I get bored or frustrated, I'll go out back and I'll blow some stuff up. Well,
I like that kind of job.
That's right.
I'm going to blow something up.
That's right. They know to just stay back and let me blow stuff up at that point, so it's okay.
Oh, leave the big man alone. He's going to blow something up.
Exactly. But
don't want to be your head.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, it's you got to know how to handle them. You got to know what you're dealing with and how to safely take them out, put them back in.
Well, in that particular instance, and I just might be a little bit off track, but that's one of the reasons why you don't reuse a airbag.
Right, right.
I mean, if you have a wreck where that airbag
is if it deploys, it's done.
Yeah. But now, what if just one of the airbags go off and you got 10 or 12? You don't have to mess with the others?
No, you don't have to mess with others, but you do have to inspect or replace. Usually insurance companies require to replace any sensors that were in the impact area. You know, so if you're impacted in the side and, okay, it got the driver's door was pretty hard hit, well, usually they'll want you to go ahead and put the rear door sensor in as well because it was in the general area of that.
Wait a minute. A lot of people don't realize that there's more to the airbag than just the airbag.
So, yeah.
In other words, something has got to set that airbag off.
Right. The airbag does not have the capability of lighting itself. Okay. Something has to energize that airbag to.
Just a blow would not physically set off an airbag itself without one of the sensors.
I mean, I wouldn't want to take
it. Electrical charge.
It's an electrical charge. Okay. I wouldn't want to take it and put it on a bench and start beating on it with a hammer.
Oh,
you know,
hell no!
Probably would not be a real good idea. You know,
well,
but
don't they even have those sensors in the seat belts?
Well, I mean, you've got your charges in the seat belts that pull the belts tight.
Right.
So,
okay.
If you have a frontal or side impact or a near rollover condition, it's going to blow either the side airbags or the front airbags, and it's also going to blow the seat belts every time. So, so you'll end up putting both seat belts, the buckle and the retractor, in both front seats. You know, if you have any kind of impact, you know.
So those are always replaced. That is the complete seat belt.
Yeah, Yeah, that's a complete seatbelt where it bolts to the floorboard all the way down. Now, it's all these, you can't replace these, components of it.
Okay, yeah. Are these air charges already adapted to these seatbelts when you plug them in?
It's actually a it's a little explosive charge. You know, it's not just air.
It's like a bullet or something.
Yeah,
going off.
It's a actual. You know,
like a powder charge,
explosion charge, right. Yeah, powder type charge. You know, that's where the smoke and the heat and all that. And, you know, we actually have sometimes if it goes off, it'll actually get hot enough, it'll damage the connector going to that airbag. So, you know, you got to inspect for all that stuff when you're going in and replacing.
So sometimes we see a car that's not really hit too bad, but yet all the airbags go off in the dash because it was maybe hit charged well enough, and they'll say it's total.
Yeah.
You say, well, can't you just replace all the airbags in the dash, you know?
Right.
Well, you know, that could be, what, $5,000-$10,000?
Well, you can run into some money. You start, you know, if you do the roof rail airbags, you've got to get the headliner's got to be replaced, and there's trim pieces that's going to be replaced.
Oh,
and,
my Lord.
You know, it gets deep at times.
So the more airbags you got, the more susceptible you are to the car being totaled.
Yeah. If the ones come out of the seat, you know, the seat cover's got to be replaced, and, you know, there's a lot involved, no doubt. But we do have a text about a 87 R10 with AC question here, but sounds like we're going to take a break here, and we will get to that as soon as we get back. We'll let you hear from our sponsors.
The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The Doctor is in.
And welcome back to the Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text 343-0106. And I promised we'd get to this text after the break there. I have an 87 R10, which is a C10 for people that don't know. It's basically in 87, they were already coming out with the newer trucks a little bit, getting ready for that because this old square body truck was going to run for a few more years in the 3/4 and 1 ton in Suburban. So they decided to change the designation from C to R. And that's basically just the 86 C truck is now an R truck with a fuel injected motor. So anyway, old square body truck, compressor cycles on and off, but still blows cold. Is this a sign of low Freon? Also, can I get the old R12 or mix it with something newer? You don't want to mix it. The R12, you may find somebody that's got some, but good luck, and you'll pay, you know, a very exorbitant price for it. Sure. If you do.
They could want $50 a can,
right?
If you found it.
But the cycling on and off, as long as it's blowing cold and it's not, I mean, and if it's really blowing cold, its cycling is actually fairly normal. You know, it does that to keep things from freezing up. That's the way they handled it back then. You know, so if it's blowing cold, I wouldn't worry about it. I'd leave it alone. If it is not blowing cold or if it cycles off for too long, I would suggest, you know, having it all pulled out.
The Freon you're talking about.
The refrigerant, flush it and put R134 in it. They make conversion fittings that will, you know, convert it to the 134.
Is that the only thing you have to do now? Is just change those fittings?
Yeah, pretty much. Well, you know,
back
it's
in the day, didn't it change the pressure valve or something?
They were, you know, they went through changing all kind of different stuff at times, but you know, they really just got down to the point to where if you did a good evacuation on it, got it all out, vacuumed it for a good while,
that's the
made
secret.
Sure it,
that's the secret,
yeah,
right there.
Make sure everything's out of it. If it needs oil added to it, put you know, put the PAG oil in it, which is
the 134
oil. 134 oil. And then recharge it with 134, and you're good to go. It works. Pressures are so close.
Yeah, I've done that in some of my personal vehicles other customers' vehicles over the years, and it worked fine.
Yeah, yeah, it does fine. We went through a time period we were doing these really regular, but, you know, somewhere, I believe, in 94, everything went to 134 anyway.
Right. Anyway,
you know, so usually by, you know, you got to remember that's a 26-year-old vehicle now. So you don't see a whole lot of those that people are worried about the air conditioner anymore, you know, that hadn't.
I would.
Yeah, you know, I would if I was driving it, for sure, you know.
I heard it blow.
Yeah, but even the aftermarket systems like I have in my hot rods, you know, they all take 134.
Okay.
Know, so it's a good refrigerant. Works well. Does fine.
Does a good job. Yeah.
So it's all good. But I know we were going to talk a little bit about. I know you're talking about your son. You know, selling a vehicle out of state
somebody in Virginia.
Yeah, yeah. Because it's just getting hard to find.
You did what? are y'all? You know what? The lady called him and he caught the line. And she said, "Do you have such and such model car, such and such color with a convertible?" He said, "Yes, ma'am, I do." "Well, give me the price on it." She didn't haggle or nothing. "Give me the price, because that's the only one in the United States. I want it. Tell me how much it is. I will wire you the money."
Yep.
"And well, I'll send a vehicle to pick it up."
Right. I'm sending a truck to pick it up.
Right. You don't have to deliver it.
That one's mine. So yeah. Mark it sold. Yeah.
Pull it off the floor. Put it in the safe.
Right. Right. You know, and
are y'all seeing any of that?
We get a little bit of that. Not too much, really. But, you know, we have had some issues trying to get some inventory in. We're starting to actually
see. Probably some specific.
Well, stuff, if you're looking for a specific vehicle, colors and options and stuff, it's a little harder to get.
Yeah.
But we're starting to get some vehicles roll in. GM is doing a pretty decent job of getting things going.
I see them on
again.
The highway. Yeah.
Yeah. So we've been getting trucks pretty much a couple times a week now, which is a good thing.
Yeah. Well, you got to figure that's about seven or eight vehicles.
Yeah, we don't get all of them off there. Something, I've threatened to not let them out of the parking lot till.
We'll blow all the tires out. Unload the thing.
But that don't really work because they're already invoiced to somebody else at that point.
Oh, Lord,
so.
Okay. Well,
we do what we can.
Proprietorship is what 99% of the law. Yeah, you got it in
right.
your hands.
That's right. If it's mine, I'm keeping it.
Right.
But
if I got my hands on it, it's mine.
That's right. But you know, they don't. I don't know. We're getting a fairly decent inventory. We've actually gotten a couple of the new Tahoes in. They're really nice vehicles. Independent rear suspension, changed the whole dash.
What?
And
you
everything.
Mean like a Vet?
Yeah, yeah. They've all gone independent now on the rear suspension.
How do you do that when you use that vehicle for a tow vehicle and or you know pulling a load or a trailer or an RV or you know what have you?
If they can do it with a Corvette and a Camaro that's putting 700 and something horsepower to the ground, then we can do it with a 300 or 400 horsepower.
Well, is there any way to beef that up? Can you get a heavier duty independent rear suspension, or is what it is?
Pretty much is what it is. You know, it's there's always ways to modify things, but you know it's really not necessary. You know, they overbuild those things. You know?
Okay.
Now I'm sure.
I'm sure they can be
sure
torn up.
I'm sure if you hand it to Billy Bob and his buddies and give him a 12 pack, they can figure out a way pretty easy to tear it up.
There's a swamp road out here going
right,
to Mississippi.
Right.
A log road.
Yeah. I see the results of that from time to time. Yeah. But it's
man, I was in Bel Air Mall in the parking lot and it broke.
I just pulled in my driveway. Yeah, where was your driveway?
How far down the dirt road is it where that log truck was at?
Yeah, you might want to work on that driveway a little bit then. Yeah. But
and you had a caterpillar to put you out.
Yeah, yeah.
So, well, that's cool. I'm glad to see that we are getting some of the new equipment and making available on the lot, because there's a lot of new innovations on this stuff and off, and for us guys and gals that like all the new accessories and the new toys on these vehicles.
Yep.
It is just such a dream. But, you know, if I was going to buy a brand new vehicle, I don't think I'd buy a car.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'd buy a new pickup truck.
Well, everybody's gone to truck. I mean, trucks and SUVs is where it's at right now for sure. But it's just the hot ticket. Everybody wants the room, wants the space. You know, you're up higher, you can see better.
Yeah.
You know, I'm driving a Traverse right now because we're a little thin on the Silverados, so I hadn't wanted to take their one of the ones they have for sale. So, but luckily with that vehicle, it's still pretty tall, so I'm used to looking up over everybody.
Right,
That still keeps me in that neighborhood.
Well, to me, that's another safety factor too with some of these low slung tinker toys that we got out there now called cars.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. We do have another text here I can get to before the end of the show. New car doesn't have tranny filter. How often to drain and fill? Actually, the ones that just have a drain and fill port, they do have a filter. You just don't want to have to change it because it's actually you have to disassemble the transmission to get to it. So it's a non-serviceable filter.
So it's kind of like a lifetime deal.
Yeah, it's a lifetime deal. You don't have to worry about it. It's more of a is put in while the transmission's apart, and you have to split the case to get to it. So don't worry about the filter, but it is in there. You basically want to service it just like you normally would. It's about, if it's severe duty, about every 50. If it's just everyday driving, typically about every 100,000 miles. You gotta. Most people don't think what they do is severe duty driving. But if you're in traffic all the time and getting it hot and all that kind of stuff, it's considered severe duty.
Severe duty.
Yeah. But anyway, okay. It sounds like we've run up to the end of our show here. I want to thank everybody for listening to the Car Doctor Show. And I will be back next week. I hope Tom will be back here with us.
I most certainly will try.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
And to all of our first responders and our veterans out there, we certainly want to thank you for all your services and what you have done for our country. Hoorah.
Yep.
Out of this side of Mississippi. Whoa, hold it. I just passed another coach.